call to order the Joint Committee on Ways and Means for Friday, April 27th. Good morning. Budgets reported out of subcommittee. Let's go to the Board of Accountancy, Senate Bill 5501. Senator Whitsitt.
Thank you, Co-Chair Nolan. Oregon Board of Accountancy. This is the budget bill for the Oregon Board of Accountancy, which regulates the practice and performance of all services provided by licensed accountants. The agency is funded by revenue generated from application and license fees. The subcommittee approved a budget of $1,992,874 other funds, which is a 25.1% increase from the essential budget level and 7 full-time equivalent positions. The approved budget is a 21.3% increase from the governor's recommended budget. The subcommittee suspended the board's budget hearing until they could provide more information and a strategy for decreasing their backlog of complaints and a strategy for putting licensing and renewals online. The subcommittee approved an additional $100,000 for an information technology project to implement online licensing and $250,000 for the board to establish a list of consultants to provide the expertise to investigate the more complex complaint cases. The subcommittee also recommended the board report to the Joint Legislative Audit Committee during the interim with a progress report on these issues. In addition, the subcommittee requested the Department of Administrative Services to unschedule these additional funds until JLAC approves the board's timeliness, business case, and strategy. The General Government Subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 5501 be reported out, do pass as amended.
Thank you, Senator. Any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, motion passes. Let's move on to Senate Bill 5525, Long-Term Care Ombudsman. Looks like Senator Schrader is going to carry this one.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Senate Bill 5525 is a budget bill for the Long-Term Care Ombudsman. The agency recruits and trains over 200 volunteers to identify, investigate, and resolve non-abuse complaints made by or on behalf of long-term care residents. The agency also advocates for system changes that promote and protect the rights and interests of long-term care residents. The agency is funded with general fund and federal funds. The majority of the general fund, 83%, is used to match federal funds to the Department of Human Services funding.
Sounds like it to me.
Received from DHS's budget as other funds. From the Services Subcommittee approved a total budget of $2.5 million and 9.25 full-time equivalent positions. The approved budget adds a part-time position to handle federal reporting workload and a full-time deputy state long-term care ombuds position to increase the number of volunteers. Increasing the number of volunteers is expected to decrease the average time to close a complaint case and increase the percentage of facilities visited quarterly. Even with the new position, several members expressed concern that the agency was not adequately staffed to serve an increasing long-term care population. The subcommittee discussed the possibility of adding another position at a later date should additional funding become available. Performance measures were reviewed and approved with the revised targets. Human Services Subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 5525 be amended and reported out due pass as amended.
Very well done, Senator. Thank you. Is there any discussion? Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I was a no on this budget in the committee, and I will also be a no in full. And I think that we should put this budget back in the venue of the subcommittee and add the other position to it that is under discussion. That was the subject of the discussion in the subcommittee. The state receives a tremendous return on investment from senior volunteers that go into nursing homes to talk about quality of care issues with the folks that live in those nursing homes. And for us, for the lack of one position in this budget, to cut back on the ability to take advantage of all of the good work that those folks do as volunteers, I think, is unconscionable, and for that reason, I'm going to maintain my no vote on this budget.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Senator Gordley.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. We heard testimony in our subcommittee from Dolores Hubert, a volunteer ombudsman with the State Office of the Long-Term Care Ombudsman. And what she said to us was that there are approximately 140 volunteer ombudsmen serving the state of Oregon. We heard testimony from the agency as well, verifying the number, but we also heard that the actual need of volunteers is 400, around 400 are needed, and again, we only have 140. There are 142 nursing homes, 228 residential care facilities, 230 assisted living facilities, and approximately 1,650 adult foster homes. Volunteers serve 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, and do not receive a salary. The volunteers make it possible for the agency to deliver its unique services to long-term care residents, again, statewide, and with only a pool of 140 volunteers. The governor's recommended budget called for an increase of two professional staff positions and a part-time clerical support person. The co-chair's budget reduces the governor's recommended budget by one professional staff person. We heard from the agency that, in fact, they've had no increase in staffing since 1990 and have been operating with the same 8 FTE despite a 50% increase in the number of long-term care facility beds. And, in fact, we heard from the agency that an adequate number of staff for the agency, given the increase in responsibilities, would be four. They need four staff. I struggled with this in committee, and I agreed to vote it out to get it here so that we could have this conversation. The budget is just totally inadequate, and I'm unable to support it this morning. And I agree with my colleague, Representative Morgan, that we need to pull this one back. These are the folks who ensure that folks who are in these homes, in these assisted living facilities, in the adult foster care homes, and in these other residential care facilities, these are the folks who assure us that people are safe and well cared for, and we don't have enough administrative support in place to ensure that through this budget.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Senator Westlin.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Just a couple of comments on the budget before us in the discussion in committee. It was certainly, I think, one of the best discussions that we've had so far this session with regard to the need for funding, the vital services that all of our DHS subcommittee budgets and the providers therein provide. What I took most comfort from were the calming and reassuring words of not only our chair of that committee, Senator Carter, but almost every member of the committee. And that was that we are certainly aware and more than sensitive to this crying need, and that as we proceed through our budget deliberations and combing those budgets for efficiencies and savings, some of which certainly exist, the commitment not only from the chair but also from myself and Senator Bates is that we will look with all due diligence and try as best we humanly can to find the additional funding for the FTE. This is not an issue that is inconsequential, and it is not an issue that is going to be left untended. So with those firm commitments, not only from the good chair, but myself and every member of the committee, Senator Winters. I rest assured, I feel very comfortable in voting yes for this budget.
Okay. Further discussion? Senator Winters?
Madam Chair, I had not prepared that I was going to speak because I was not at the committee hearing that particular day. I was off on a medical appointment. But I, too, would be a no on this budget. Those of you know, my heart is with the ombudsman's activity, and probably should also know that my spouse started this program under McCall, and to underfund it, and I appreciate the comments made by my good senator and I from Tumalo, and I know that the chair will fight as hard as she can to make certain that the positions are here. But having said that, I am also mindful of how we all compete for all the dollars at the end of this process, and I would just feel a lot better if we sent it back to committee and had the assurance from the co-chairs that we will be adding the staff to this. It is our most vulnerable group in our society. And it's a group of individuals, the elderly that are in our nursing homes, who don't have the ability often to speak and act for themselves. It is, when we begin to assess it, that population is growing. And yet, there has not been an increase since 1990. So, for those reasons, I would be a no this morning.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Senator Carter.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Co-Chair. I think it is imperative for everybody here to know that the long-term ombudsperson made an excellent plea, and I resoundingly, as chair, heard her. The committee heard her very well. And I want to, first of all, give thanks to Senator Gordley for allowing her vote to get the bill out of committee. But this is on my top priority list to fund this other position. And all of us as budget people know what happens in the end, that we have the opportunity in a large budget package to add the position back. So as soon as we finish with reshoot, we will look at that very closely and have means, I'm hoping, to be able to add this position back. So I hope that you will understand my plea this morning, and that is support us on this budget, and that it is on the top priority list for getting this position back in this budget.
Thank you. Clean up. Senator Schrader.
Thank you. I appreciate the discussion. Just point out some things. One is, if you look at the performance measures for the agency, particularly the first three, which are really outcomes, the agency is actually performing quite well with the staff they have right now, at least for the outcomes that the committee adopted and apparently found sufficient this time. They're 95% success rate, close times 2 days, and time to close non-referred cases, initial time to response is 2 days. Close time is almost a little over a month, and that's pretty good. There are a lot of agencies that can't even get close to that. To the desire to inspect more facilities, we certainly could do a better job that way. If money is found for the additional person, I would expect the targets to move up in all of those areas. And that's the way that we're supposed to be, performance-based budgeting. So I'm actually, given the current performance, pretty comfortable voting for this budget right now, and be glad to entertain prospects later on.
Okay. Thanks. Let's call the roll, please.
Senator Wesson?
Aye.
Senator Gordley?
No.
Senator Winters?
No.
Senator Johnson?
Aye.
Senator Bates?
Aye.
Senator Devlin?
Aye.
Senator Morris?
Aye.
Senator Nelson?
Aye.
Senator Berger?
Aye.
Senator Whitson?
No.
Vice Chair Carter?
Aye.
Co-Chair Schrader?
Aye.
Representative Morgan?
No.
Representative Hanna?
No.
Representative Jensen?
Aye.
Representative Guard?
No.
Representative Galizio?
Aye.
Representative Shields?
Aye.
Representative Edwards?
Aye.
Vice Chair Nathanson?
Aye.
Co-Chair Nolan?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thanks. Okay. Other bills, not budget bills, reporting out of committee. House Bill 2070, relating to fees charged by the Employment Relations Board. Representative Henson, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. House Bill 2070 equalizes fees related to unfair labor practices proceedings handled by the Employee Relations Board, resulting in an increase in the fee to answer an unfair labor practice complaint and establishment of fees to intervene in proceedings of $250. The bill also creates a new separate account for the agency for monies received. The Joint Ways and Means Committee on General Government had a lengthy discussion regarding the policy of using the fee as a means of funding the Employee Relations Board. This bill is expected to generate $13,200 in additional revenue in the 2007-09 biennium, and passage of this bill was anticipated in the agency's budget, SB 5511, which was reported out of the Full Ways and Means Committee on April 6th with a due pass recommendation. Revenue from this fee increase will be used to partially fund an additional administrative law judge to address some of the approximately 137 cases filed with the agency each year. This additional position brings the total number of administrative law judges in the agency to 3 and is expected to improve the agency's performance by 30% in the number of days necessary to resolve cases. The subcommittee recommends approval of an amendment to HB 2070 to continue the current practices of crediting interest on herb funds to the general fund. In summary, the Ways and Means Subcommittee on General Government recommends HB 2070 be amended and reported out to pass as amended.
Thank you, Representative. Any discussion? Senator Whitsitt.
Thank you, Co-Chair Nolan. I'll be in the opposition to this today for two reasons. The first, I think it's simply wrong to charge a fee to answer your accuser. And I realize there's already a fee in place, but this is a 150% increase on a fee that I would disagree with to begin with. The second is that this is just an additional tax on the people, and that in testimony, over 80% of the charges are actually brought by public employees against public employers, and of course it's the tax fees, the tax in public that will pay those fees, and for those two reasons, I oppose this in committee, and I oppose it again today.
Thank you, Senator. Any further discussion? Senator Hanna?
Thank you. May I ask the carrier?
Please.
Was there a justification in your mind in terms of the percentage of increase on the fee? Was there a discussion about how they built the fee increase?
The justification on the fee increase is based on the need that's currently present in the agency in order to be able to fund the additional administrative law judge to be able to process these complaints or these cases in a reasonable amount of time. The current, I don't remember the exact number of days it's taking, but the current number of days is somewhat excessive and results in considerable hardship, or can result in considerable hardship to individuals who are involved in it on both sides of the issue. So the fee, in summary, was based on what was anticipated to be needed in order to fund that particular position with other funds.
Follow up.
Okay. Of course.
Well, not for question, just as a point. For many of the reasons that Senator Whitsitt was a no, I just can't see 150% increase in a cost to answer the question of accusation. And I can't get there. I'll be a no on this as well.
Okay, thanks. Senator Morse?
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Does anyone have
question of ability to put this in perspective. Does an intervener in a judicial proceeding pay a fee to file as an intervener? Seems interesting to me that in a case like this, we would be filing, asking an intervener to pay a $250 fee. And that's, if I'm incorrect, that's the way I read the bill.
I don't have the answer to
it's
that,
unanswered.
Senator, and I'm not seeing anyone else.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair.
I
will be a no.
Specific question.
I will be a no. Thank you.
Thanks. Further discussion? Representative Jensen?
Madam Co-Chair, thank you very much. And if I could just add on, because there was some discussion in committee about a loser pays all sort of thing. That, however, I think is a policy. It was determination in the subcommittee that this is a policy issue, should be taken up as a policy issue in subsequent sessions of the legislature.
Good point. The fee exists now. This is
right.
Recommending to raise it and not addressing that policy question. Representative Galizia.
Yes, just for, this might or might not assuage Senator Morse's concerns, but I think the key, we were talking about this, you know, these are quasi-judicial. So with the emphasis on quasi.
So it's a quasi fee.
Madam Chair, if I.
Quasi motive.
Senator Morse?
Maybe frame my question a little differently to the carrier. This is a new $250 fee for an intervener?
No. The fee is. The fee is currently in place in the same manner that it is the amount of the fee that is changed in this bill.
Okay. I've got Senator Devlin, and then...
Madam Chair, just a very quick question to Representative Jensen. Many of the fees that I'm adjusting in my committees have not been adjusted since the early 1990s or the mid-1980s. When was the last time this fee was adjusted?
Madam Chair, I'd have to ask if I've got any professional staff that is available to answer that question. I'm not sure that I know.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, first is a clarification. The answer filing fee currently exists in statute at $100. An intervener fee, it's my understanding, does not currently exist, and this does establish a $250 fee to intervene. The principle behind this is to equalize the filing fees between the initial individual that brings the complaint and those who answer it, and that was part of a discussion that took place before the 2005 session in an interim work group that discussed funding for the Employment Relations Board and various options in order to fund that. And if I could get a repeat of the question, I had missed.
It's always smart to have staff help us out, isn't it?
The question was, obviously now the intervener fee is a new fee. And are we adjusting the $100 fee, correct?
Yes.
And when was the last time that was adjusted?
I believe it was in 1997-ish, was my understanding.
Okay. Thank you.
About 10 years ago, we'll say. I had Representative Hannah and then Senator Bates, and we're all going to speak about this. Representative Hannah?
I'll be very brief. Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I think we've now established that one of the fees is a new fee.
Yes.
And I would, in many of these fee increase bills, the date of the last increase is listed. In this particular one, I don't think it is. And I would just recommend that we try to put that in there, because when you begin to look, it's one thing to say we're all going to vote on 150% fee increase. Mm-hmm. It's another thing to be able to look back and put that in context with CPI or some other form of increase that you could index it against. So I would suggest that be added to the paperwork.
I think that's a great suggestion. Senator Bates.
I just want to speak on the budget for a second. this came to us as a result of a consensus over the last 2 years almost of work groups putting this together. And I think of the Employee Relations Board more as a place you go for mediation, arbitration, stay out of court. They are not being able to, with the present fee schedule, keep up with the load they have. They're falling behind. They need another judge to move them forward. We looked at this point of view of efficiency, and frankly, what we do in Ways and Means is not policy, but Ways and Means. In that point of view, it was a consensus. It was something to move them forward. And so we keep these groups out of court. And on that basis, I think it's a good bill. We should move it on through here. I understand some of the angst that people had in committee about it, but essentially this is a group that keeps employers and employers from getting involved in long, protracted, and very expensive court cases that can go on for months and years. This board does a great job. We need to fund it and make sure it has the financial background and the number of judges it needs to get the job done.
Thank you. Representative Gerard?
I'll just be voting no, Madam Chair.
Okay. Anybody else? Further discussion?
Call the roll, please.
Senator Wessel?
Aye.
Senator Gorgie?
Aye.
Senator Winters?
No.
Senator Johnson?
Aye.
Senator Bates?
Aye.
Senator Devlin?
Aye.
Senator Morris?
No.
Senator Nelson?
Aye.
Senator Berger?
Aye.
Senator Whitsitt?
No.
Vice Chair Carter?
Aye.
Co-Chair Schrader?
Aye.
Representative Morgan?
No.
Representative Yano?
No.
Representative Jensen?
Aye.
Representative Gerard?
No.
Representative Polizio?
Aye.
Representative Shields?
Aye.
Representative Edwards?
Aye.
Vice Chair Nathanson?
Aye.
Co-Chair Nolan?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thanks. House Bill 2118, Underground Injection Control Program. Senator Nelson?
Thank you. House Bill 2118 allows the Department of Environmental Quality to institute a fee-based structure to support the existing underground injection control program in Oregon. The most common underground systems that we're talking about here are stormwater dry wells. The federal government began this program in 1974 as part of the Safe Drinking Water Act. DEQ assumed primary enforcement responsibility in 1984. Currently, the program's only funding comes from the EPA, which is only sufficient to support less than one full-time staff position. All state support for the program has been limited in previous biennia. During the interim, DEQ considered returning the program to the United States EPA due to the lack of funding. But those currently operating these underground storage things wanted the department to continue to operate the program and worked with DEQ to establish a fee schedule to support this work. The revenue generated from the new fees in this bill are assumed in the budget for the Department of Environmental Quality. Natural Resource Subcommittee recommends that House Bill 2101 be amended and reported out do pass as amended. 2118.
Thank you, sir. Discussion. Representative Gerard.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. In the subcommittee, if you will, if members would like to check the fiscal, it was disclosed that their revenue off this fee increase will be $1.366 million, and their expenditures are $1.5 million, which would produce an excess in $360,000 in fees collected. When you were asked what they were going to do with this $360,000 excess collected, the response was, well, we'll put it away to avoid increases in the future. So I think the fees are excessive. They produce basically 25% more in revenue than they do in expenses. So I can't see that they've defended the position of this high of a rate increase, and I'll be opposing the bill.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Senator Berger?
Yes, Madam Chair, I think this is an extremely important program. but I think that the fees are excessive, and I also have some other issues about what is not listed as far as what they would be taking care of in the underground water. I think we have other serious concerns there, so I will be a no. Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I had a number of people come to me, different entities, about this fee, all in support. I was particularly impressed by some people that came actually from Senator Westland's district, who were, I believe, with the city of Bend there, who pointed out the vast importance of the work that this would enable to be done. I just wanted to put that on record, that I've heard nothing but support for this fee increase from local government.
Any further discussion? Any objections? Senator Whitsitt? Were you wanting to discuss or just...
Just briefly. I share some of the concerns of the other committee members. However, I do think this is an important program, and there is considerably broad support for it. I will support it today, but I would hope that this committee in future sessions will look very closely to make sure that that money is used for the purpose for which it has been raised and not transferred into a position where it would be an actual tax.
Good point. Thank you. Any further discussion? Any objections?
Representative Morgan.
Representative Hannah. Representative Garrard. Senator Berger. Motion carries. Senate Bill 58, relating to arbitrators available through state conciliation service. Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. The Ways and Means Subcommittee on General Government brings you Senate Bill 58, which establishes a $50 application fee and a $100 annual fee for those who are included on the list of qualified arbitrators maintained by the Employment Relations Board. Fees are not currently charged to arbitrators who apply and are maintained on the Board's list of qualified arbitrators. The Board checks references and qualifications, processes application, responds to complaints about the arbitrators, and maintains decision files. This fee is intended to recover part of the costs associated with these tasks. Other entities charge fees for management of arbitrator panels, including private and federal managers in the states of Minnesota and New Jersey. This bill is anticipated in Senate Bill 5511, the Employment Relations Board budget, which was reported out of Ways and Means on April 6th with a due pass recommendation. The Ways and Means Subcommittee on General Government recommends Senate Bill 58 be reported out due pass.
Thank you, Senator. Any discussion? Senator Whitsitt.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Yeah. I'll be opposed to this bill. It's a new fee, and it's this one to me is perhaps the most amazing reason for a fee that I have seen yet in my short tenure in the legislature. To actually charge someone a fee to be included on a list is pretty amazing. I do understand that there's a couple other entities in a couple other states that do that. Apparently there's 48 other states that don't. So I just can't see establishing a fee for this purpose.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Moore?
I will be a no. Thank
you. Okay. Any further discussion? Representative Morgan?
I will be a no also, Madam Co-Chair.
Okay, we'll get to voting in a minute. This is discussion. Thanks. No, that's fine. Okay. So now, objections. Representatives Morgan, Hannah, Garrard, Senators Whitsitt, Morse. Motion carries. Senate Bill 104, Underground Storage Tanks. Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senate Bill 104 raises annual permits for the underground storage tanks program from $85 to $135 per tank. The fees were last increased in 2001. By comparison, Washington has just increased their annual fees from $100 to $160 per tank. The increase will create enough revenue to support the program's 8 positions. The bill also removes a sunset on the underground storage tanks fee structure. The revenue generated from the fee adjustments in this bill are assumed in the budget for the Department of Environmental Quality. The Natural Resources Subcommittee recommends SB 104 be reported out due pass.
Thank you, Senator. Any discussion? Senator Morse?
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. On page 2 of 2 in the fiscal analysis, the statement, without passage of the bill, DEQ will not be able to carry out the federal underground storage tank along Oregon beginning January 2008. And the EPA may assume responsibility for the program. I assume that was thoroughly vetted with respect to that conclusion in the subcommittee.
Yes, Madam Chair, Senator Morse, one of the constant discussions in the committee, we're going through the DEQ budget now, is the decline in support from the federal government for programs in which they mandate. That's actually one of our largest budget problems in the Department of Environmental Quality, because we are backfilling funding for a lot of federal programs with general fund dollars. In this particular case, if DEQ could no longer perform, obviously the EPA, I think, would take responsibility, but I'm not so sure the EPA would do anything with it. They basically are holding us responsible, but not funding what they're holding us responsible for.
Nothing new.
Nothing new.
Thank you. Further discussion? Any objections? Representative Hannah?
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. To the carrier, was there a discussion about the potential 400% increase in the top end of the fee? I mean, did you all get a justification for that level of increase?
Let's see. It might be best for staff to answer that question.
Are you talking about the penalty or the fee?
Must be the penalty, because I don't see it.
Oh, you're right. The fee increase was 58.8%. This is the top end on both of the penalties, as much as 400%.
Okay. No, I cannot remember a specific discussion on that particular item in the committee.
One more question on that?
Sure.
Were you provided any kind of a range when it talks about the average increase in citation, which actually ends up being a 37.5% increase in the citation? Did they show you the average citation or the number of citations by size?
Madam Chair, Representative Hannah, basically they went through the staff recommendation on this, I believe. DEQ was there. I don't think we got into that level of detail in this discussion.
Thank you.
I'm just trying to check if this bill... Can Mr. Siebert come forward? I can't remember. A question I can't answer here is, I believe, SB 104, did it come to us from the Senate Environment Committee? It did.
Madam Chair, Senator Devlin, yes, it came.
A lot of the questions you're asking may have been asked there, and I do not have knowledge of that.
And just for clarification, the increase in the fee is related to the field ticket program. They had a pilot program in statute in which a representative of the department could issue a citation in the field, which the folks running these programs much preferred, instead of going through a process when they return back. It's kind of a streamlining program. So the idea behind increasing the penalty is to allow more of those types of violations to be dealt with in this field ticket process, instead of going through a more formal, time-consuming process. I believe that's the reason why the fee went up so much.
Or the fine. Madam Co-Chair?
Representative.
Can I see if we can get on the same page here? Is a field ticket the same as described here as expedited penalties?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Representative, are you done, Representative
Hannah? No, I'm not.
Okay.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I just want to point out here, colleagues, as I was corrected, this is a 58.8% increase in the storage tank fee. It does allow field ticket / expedited penalties. It does increase those penalties by as much as, because it's on a sliding scale, but by as much as 400%. And the average increase in the penalty is 37.5%. I'll be a no on this.
Thanks, Representative Garrard.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
what the representative Hanna omitted also is the fact that this bill will remove the sunset on the pilot program to issue those field tickets. So I opposed it in the subcommittee, and I will continue to oppose the bill today.
Okay. Thanks. Senator Bates.
I'll give what background I can to this. Read you back. Remember, this did come out of the Natural Resources Committee. Went there first and came down to Ways and Means. My memory of it is this was one we discussed at some length. We were primarily concerned about the small gas stations in rural areas that might, this fee might be difficult for them. But after a long discussion, it was felt that it wasn't. And this is a preventative program. It was supported by the people who are going to have the fee. They felt that that having this checked, knowing ahead of time that preventing leaks was so important, and they wanted this program continued. The program was working well, they wanted it to continue to go forward. The real concern for them was that cleanup of these sites is incredibly expensive. It can run into hundreds of thousands of dollars very quickly, very easily. So this is one of those situations where the people that have to pay the fee not only accepted it, but wanted it. So from that point of view, it seemed to be a pretty reasonable way to go forward. We set it on down to Ways and Means, and that's the best my memories of this morning. But I don't remember any significant controversy when we had a long discussion with the people who were going to receive the fee.
Okay, great. Thanks. Senator Berger.
Yes, Madam Chair, you know, when the storage tanks were placed in the ground, they were illegal. And so I think we need to remember that. I do think that there are people that have storage tanks under the ground who are not even aware that they're there. I've been involved with the storage tank issue for a long, long time, and one day's excavation for a storage tank is about $35,000 to the owner of the property. So for other reasons and the fact that I have followed this for a long time, I will be a no on the bill.
Okay. Any further discussions? Representative Gillard.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. In response to Senator Bates's, we were told in the subcommittee that the excess money collected from the penalties would be used primarily to hire new inspectors, not to clean up any problems with the underground.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Senator Devlin?
Just looking at the staff report here, a lot of discussion has been about the expedited penalties. And the estimates for 2007 by about $25,000, the estimates for 2009 is about, $27,500. I think a very limited amount of revenue is being anticipated from this, and that's about a biennial cost of about 0.2 of one FTE.
Okay.
In terms of its buying power.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Objections? Representative Morgan, Representative Hanna, Representative Jensen, Representative Gillard, Senator Whitsitt, Senator Verger. Motion carries. Senate Bill 1034, relating to nursing assistant certificate fees. Senator Gordley.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. The Oregon Board of Nursing oversees licensing and certification of registered nurses, licensed practical nurses, and certified nursing assistants that practice in Oregon. The board's authority extends to investigation of complaints and a nurse monitoring program for individuals with substance abuse or mental health issues. The agency is funded by revenue generated from application and license fees. Senate Bill 1034 changes the maximum certification and renewal fees that can be charged for certified nursing assistants. This bill will raise the cap on these particular fees from $45 to $75. The Board of Nursing anticipates raising the fees for CNA certification from $40 to $60 and a renewal fee from $40 to $50. This will raise an additional $170,000 in the 07-09 biennium. The fees will be raised through the administrative rule process and will require the prior approval
of the Department of Administrative Services and retroactive approval from the 2009-11 legislature. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 1034 be reported out due pass.
Thank you. Any discussion? Representative Hannah.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I'm sounding like a broken record here, but I continue to be amazed at the level of increase. Maximum certification fee, 87.5%. Fees for CNA, 50%. Renewal for the same, 25%. I would tell you that some of these CNAs are some of the hardest working folks out there and are the least able to pay an additional fee of this kind of increase. And again, I would say, you know, this one says it hasn't been raised since 2003, but let's use some common sense here and plug in a CPI number or something much more reasonable than talking about looking at an agency and saying, let's make the people that are going to suffer the most pay. I mean, let's come up with a reasonable number. These numbers are not reasonable fee increases. And when you go home and you look your constituency in the face and say, I raised your fee 87.5%, 50%, 25%, I just don't think it's the right thing to do. I'll be a no again.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I voted no in the subcommittee for many of the same reasons that Representative Hannah just covered, and also be a no in the full committee.
Thank you. Senator Whitsitt.
Thank you, Co-Chair. Now, can I ask the carrier a question, please?
Yes, thanks.
On the fee increase, this says it's at least on the first line, it says it's a maximum. Is the intent to increase the fee incrementally as needed as time passes, or is the intent to raise it all at one time?
I don't recall that particular discussion. I'm going to defer to staff or other members of the committee.
Senator,
I don't recall.
The report indicates that the board intends to raise the fee not to the full amount immediately. Please.
Madam Co-Chair, members of the committee, Senator Whitsitt, the Board of Nursing has proposed raising the fees, I believe, to $60 for the initial certification and to $50 for the renewal fee. So they will raise the fees incrementally as the costs increase to support the program. So they do not intend to raise the fees all the way to the max initially.
Thank you. Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. As long as we have the professional staff here, I would respectfully like to ask the carrier question. Was there anything on the record that would suggest that the Board of Nursing had a discussion with the affected persons? My concern about this is at a time when we seem to need CNAs desperately in a variety of facilities, I would just like to have on the record if there had been any kind of a consultative process whereby the Board of Nursing took testimony from the affected persons or at least got some indication from the CNAs that they found value in the additional fees with respect to their certification. We need CNAs desperately, and I just would like to know that they at least have the opportunity to come forward at the Board of Nursing board table to give their input before a decision was arbitrarily made that affected their pocketbooks.
Excellent question. I don't know the answer to that, staff.
Senator Carter,
thank you. First of all, the governor in his budget allocated $100,000 to pay for the fees, and in order to make this very clear, rather than to just take it through the budget like we did, we prepared a bill in order for this $100,000. So first of all, it's out of the governor's budget. Secondarily, we talked with Mr. Carlson. The CNAs will not be experiencing this fee. this fee is basically paid by the nursing homes. And as such, that Mr. Carlson gave his okay for this fee to be paid and that they will pay it. What has been happening is that the Board of Nursing has been subsidizing the CNA's fees in terms of testing, in terms of all the information activity that goes on with them. So the CNAs have not and will not incur an increase in the amount of dollars that they pay.
That's very helpful. Thank you.
Thanks. Is that a supplement over here?
First, people who haven't spoken yet, first, Representative Jensen.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I had a question. I don't know whether anybody discussed it or talked about it in committee, but did anybody talk about what the average salary of these CNAs are?
The CNAs make about between $7 and $9.75 an hour.
I'll
just advise the committee that we're starting to act like a subcommittee here. Sir?
Thank you, Madam Chair, for the indulgence. This sounds like a subcommittee. It strikes me that the CNAs are subsidizing the entire industry with those kind of wages. And as a consequence, Madam Chair, I will have to be a no vote regretfully.
Thank you.
Representative Garrard, do you want to queue? No. Senator Bates.
Just an added comment very quickly. You're right. We're acting like a subcommittee. The other issue, and Senator Carter was good to bring forward, which he did, I think it actually takes and makes the burden on CNAs financially less, because my memory is that they are now presently quite often individually responsible for the cost of getting their first certification testing done. And if you don't do this, it actually goes up. That testing isn't always paid for by their employer, so it kind of varies from program to program. This is designed to really shift cost away from the CNAs, so it's less expensive for them to get licensed and get moving forward and have a chance to actually start practicing. These are people who do God's work in our nursing home and other places. They have very low wage, often $7, $8, $9, $10 an hour at the most, and we're trying to help them to move forward, become CNAs, and we're also trying to make a little bit of less financial burden for them.
Thank you, Senator. Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I'd just like to point out, based on comments that are made, thank you to Mr. Carlson for his commitment from his particular industry. However, CNAs work in a lot more places than just nursing homes. So if your argument simply says we're going to help the ones that work in nursing homes and then pass the bill on to others, I don't think that quite fits. Secondly, just the fact that we have a cost increase that can be picked up by the business doesn't mean that cost is not going to be then passed on to the patients. And finally, I'm thrilled we're acting like a subcommittee, because for those of us who don't see these bills until they get to this place, this is what's designed to happen.
Senator Schrader.
Oh, thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Since we've got a lot of inexperienced members on Ways and Means these days and don't understand how things have been done, and not to say we always have to do it the old way, but there is a reason these fee bills come to you generally in the way they do. First and foremost, very few of these fee bills come to you without almost 100% buy-off by the people affected by them.
Right.
If they're not a well-vetted instrument, we don't bring them. We're not trying to impose anything on anybody that they haven't seen, heard, or felt a little bit, and generally is for their own welfare. The other issue about the magnitude of fee increases, it is also the desire of pretty much all of the stakeholders in these various arenas to not have to raise the fee every year. There's a conscious effort in Ways and Means working with the stakeholders to establish a fee that will last several years. You can argue that, well, we should just have an index and do it every year. That is not the desire of the people that bring these fees to us. So I guess I would like to err on the side of doing it the way we've done it, which is with the consent and in the manner that those people that are affected would like it to be done. So that's the reason the fee increases occasionally look high from time to time. The reason there's a reserve in some of these fees that they don't spend right away is they don't have to increase the fees on these very same people just 2 years later. So while I think it's worthwhile to discuss that, maybe that's a great policy discussion for a later date or in a different committee besides Ways and Means about how often you want to raise these, we are doing what is standard practice has been the history of this body with the consensus and buy-off of the stakeholders.
Thank you. Call the roll, please.
Senator Wesson?
Aye.
Senator Gordon?
Aye.
Senator Winters?
Aye.
Senator Johnson?
Aye.
Senator Bates?
Aye.
Senator Devlin?
Aye.
Senator Morris?
Aye.
Senator Nelson?
Aye.
Senator Berger?
Aye.
Senator Whitsitt?
Aye.
Senator Vice Chair Carter?
Aye.
Co-Chair Schrader?
Aye.
Representative Morgan?
No.
Representative Hammond?
No.
Representative Jensen?
Aye.
Representative Garrard?
Aye.
Representative Galizian?
Aye.
Representative Shields?
Aye.
Representative Edwards?
Aye.
Vice Chair Nathanson?
Aye.
Co-Chair Nolan?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Motion carries. Thanks, folks. We'll see you next week. We're adjourned.